I'm here with Jim Zuberbühler, swim director of the annual Long Bridge Swim, now celebrating its 30th year and coming up on Saturday, August 2nd. Thanks, Jim, for being here and telling us all about the iconic Sandpoint, this iconic Sandpoint summer event, swimming the 1.76 mile open water swim on Lake Pendere along the Long Bridge. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to be here.
Well, first of all, congratulations, 30 years, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and we're thrilled. The swim has grown over the years. We are very likely to have 800 swimmers on Saturday. It's just been great fun to watch these numbers slowly grow since Eric started this 30 years ago. It's really been fun.
That's Eric Ridgway.
Eric Ridgway, the one and only.
And so because we're celebrating something, it means there was a beginning. So why did Eric decide to do a Long Bridge swim, and what did it look like in the beginning?
Well, he wanted to do some kind of community event that was positive. Eric had been a swimmer in college. The way he tells it is he talked 68 of his closest friends into swimming across the lake with him that first year. And the Long Bridge Swim was born. So here we are today.
I have to meet this Eric Ridgway. I do know who he is, because someone with 68 friends that would swim along the Long Bridge over the lake with him, that's pretty good. He must be an amazing human.
Oh, he's great. Yeah.
And does he still swim it after 30 years?
Oh, he does. Yeah. Yeah, he does. He's still doing it. And he's just great fun, very enthusiastic. I was very tickled when, in I think it was 2007, he asked if I would help out. I'd been swimming since 2001, and he asked if I would help him with the swim as the assistant director, and then I think I became the director in 2013. So
he's really good at talking people into things.
He is, yeah.
And over the years, I'm sure pretty quickly, and they haven't missed a year as far as I know. Did we miss anything during COVID?
Oh, we did. We did cancel the swim during COVID, and then we had one other year where we had a wind event that our very good friends at NOAA helped us know was very likely to happen. So we were able to make swimmers aware, and unfortunately, during the safety meeting, we were assembled at the high school. We had 700 swimmers ready to go, but it was blowing so hard we could not deploy our safety kayakers, and the sheriff was also advising us not to go. So it was a safety issue, and swimmers were very supportive. We didn't want to have anybody get hurt or lose anybody, so.
So, yeah, there's always anything you're doing in nature is going to have the variable of possibly not happening. And luckily, over those years, it's only been a couple times. Yeah. And also over the years, the reason originally was just for fun and games, mm-hmm. and get together. And let's see if we can do this and make it a semi-official. And it's kind of graduated into reasons for the swim.
That's right. Quite a few years ago now, 2000, oh, I think it was 2008, 2009, a couple of years after I got involved, there were a couple of very poignant pieces in the Bee about a couple of high school kids who had drowned, one Spirit Lake, one up on the Moy, and the situations were remarkably similar. Susie, they were... I think both were 16-year-old boys. Both were with friends. Neither could swim. They both got in over their heads. They both drowned. And in both cases, their friends didn't know what to do to help them. And I just thought that was awful, that here we are in a place with all this water. How on earth can we have kids get to be 16 years old and not know how to swim or not know what to do if you're a friend in a situation like that? So we started this water safety program. It was pretty organic at first, trying to figure this out, but it was pretty easy to do research and learn that third grade is a perfect time to start kids with water safety and swim lessons. There's a fair amount of literature out there. So I talked to Dick Civitanich, the then superintendent. He was very open to us working in the school district. So we found teacher advocates, third grade teachers, and started to bring kids over to then SWAC for 3-day water safety classes. And now I'm happy to say that we have all of the elementary schools in the district involved with this 3-day water safety program, which also is a way that we screen to find out who doesn't know how to swim, and then we bring those kids back for lessons. We also bring the kids back in 7th grade, touch them again. This has evolved. Susie Miller, who coordinates our swim lesson program, now has involved kids in Bonner's Ferry. We've expanded out with a summer program in Laclede. So we really want to reach as many children as possible. It varies a little bit year to year. We also have a program for special ed kids in the district, homeschool kids. But we're touching at least 700 or 800, sometimes as many as 1,000 kids a year with our water safety and swim lessons program each year.
And you can't really see the end result of, but because you don't, there's no statistics as far as, but they learn to swim, they can save their life if.
Well,
and also enjoy what we have here.
That's right. Actually, we do have a couple of very specific examples. We've also helped to fund training lifeguards for both City Beach and SWAC, now the Y. And there was a situation, oh gosh, how many years ago was it now, 5 or 6, where we had 2 young lifeguards at City Beach, both of whom had gone through our water safety program. We had scholarshiped their lifeguard training. They both actually resuscitated swimmers at City Beach, pulled them out of the water, resuscitated them. People who would most likely have drowned would have died. And so there's 2 real examples of, you know, 16, 17-year-old lifeguards who had gone through our water safety program in 3rd grade, had been subsidized by the Longbridge Swim to become lifeguards, and then saved people. So, you know, there's some, you know, direct line, you know, evidence that what we do, and those are 2, you know, very specific situations, but we know we're having this impact in a very broad way on our extended community.
So that's a real clear indication of the mission that the Longbridge has to make sure that students know how to swim.
We don't want, you know, anyone to get past 3rd grade without learning how to swim. And just both my kids, you know, been on the swim team here, and many of the children on the swim team here got interested in swimming through our 3rd grade swim lessons program. And in fact, we've helped fund the swim team, you know, for years. Mike Brosnahan would call and say, you know, here are the families that can't afford gas money or can't afford participating in the swim team. Can the Longbridge Swim help? And we did that quietly. So, you know, we've, again, have had this, you know, multi-pronged, you know, effort to support swimming in every form in this community now for many, many years.
You know, I think about Spokane, other towns, cities, they don't have what we have here in this North Idaho beautiful lake. And so it makes sense for children growing up here or moving here to have the opportunity to learn to swim and make sure mm-hmm. they understand water safety. And then that people can participate in the Longbridge Swim. I'm sure that, so you just told us some stories about the actual direct service, so to speak, of these 16-year-old lifeguards knowing how to help someone. There's probably been a lot of stories throughout the year. Do you have any specific, not maybe why the Longbridge Swim, but during the swim, it must be quite, I don't want to use the word chaotic, but exciting at the moment as people get in the water, as the whole support team. So walk us through a moment in time at the Longbridge Swim.
Well, aside from the year that the young woman took her bathing suit off and swam naked. That was very exciting.
This really happened.
Yeah, that really happened some years ago. So aside from that, I guess one of the most exciting things for me is just about every year, in fact, I can't think of a year this hasn't happened, someone makes themselves known to us who has some sort of disability. They are they're paraplegic, they have MS, they're blind, they're deaf.
And they'd like to swim.
They want to try to do this. They've suffered some sort of significant accident that's left them suffered polio as a child. I mean, it's a long list. And they've asked, can we help them, you know, accomplish this? And our answer always is, yes, we'll figure this out. So we every year have had people accomplish the swim with these, you know, situations. And I, particularly a couple of the adults with MS who have been in their 50s and 60s, where we're, you know, literally taking them to the, you know, dock area where we start the swim. And a woman, this is 10 years ago now, who swam 2 years in a row in her 50s, you know, wheeling her down to the end of the dock and asking her, how can we help you into the water? And she just said, just tip me in.
That's a good one.
You know, a little, you know, and then she did fine. And then the man who, also with MS, who swam a couple of years ago, this was a bucket list thing for him. He trained with his son. He had not been a swimmer in his younger years. And, you know, him finishing and just over and over again saying, best day ever.
Ever.
You know, ever, yeah. For him to be able to accomplish that. Those are wonderful moments for us as a team, you know, to get to help with that.
Well, it's not only the person experiencing overcoming the barriers to being able to participate, but for young children to see someone striving and a community helping them participate is a bigger lesson than we probably can even imagine.
Oh, and their families. We have a guy, I believe he's coming back this year, who came last year from Salt Lake City. He called. He'd heard about the swim. I think he's got family here. He had been involved in an industrial accident, lost the use of his legs, decided that this was something he could do. It was a motivating thing to get in shape. So he came up and, you know, pulled himself across the lake with his arms. And, you know, there we are at the finish. You know, we sent a couple people out because, of course, he couldn't, you know, walk, you know, when he got into the shallow water.
You had to have his chair there probably at the end.
So we, you know, of course, we have a couple of us go out and help him, you know, with the final bit. And this was not a small man. But, you know, huge accomplishment, and there's his family, you know, there's his wife, and
people cheering. Probably.
People cheering, and the energy level is off the charts when people accomplish this. And again, there's someone every year with something like that. But that also doesn't diminish. I mean, when I'm at the safety meeting, I'm asking, where are people from? We do this fun thing, mm-hmm. where people have traveled from, and you know, we generally have people from a couple dozen states, at least a dozen countries, typically. We had a family that came from Barcelona for about 10 years in a row, visiting family, and they would always make it the, you know, swim week, all kinds of great stories like that. And then, asking how many people have done the swim, you know, done it at least once, 5 times, 10 times, you know, 20 times, you know, how, you know, and then how many people have never done the swim? And there's always at least 100 people who have never. First timers, and it's often the first time they've ever done anything remotely like this, Susie. And what's amazing is we only pull about 10 people out of the water because they're a little cold, a little tired, or both.
Last year it was 8.
Yeah. So it's remarkable. It used to be that we were pulling close to 20 on average. Mm. That has dropped the last couple of years as our numbers have gone up, which is striking to me.
Right.
How can that be? I mean, that's just amazing that people have the fortitude who have never done this. They weren't swimmers in school.
Well, let's talk about what a 1.76 mile swim really entails. You think, I can swim from here to the dock and back, or the logs out on the at City Beach. But what is a 1.76 mile distance feel like?
Well,
For
an average swimmer, it all depends. If we're having a calm day and the water's, you know, at our, what we think of as a nice, you know, maybe 70 degrees, it's one thing. But if we're having a bit of a blustery day and we have some current, it can be really challenging for people. And that really affects, you know, the experience people have. And we've had everything, you know.
So do you give pointers, tips, or even lessons on how to stay with it, like such as you're getting tired, the water's choppy, it's a little cold, roll onto your back and just rest for a while? I mean, are there specific tips?
Yes. I mean, we do offer, you know, that kind of advice. We also don't allow people to have, you know, life jackets, noodles, anything like that. You know, it is a swim. It's not a float. It's a Long Bridge swim. And we think that would impede our ability to have a safe swim, you know, if we had flotation devices, because then we're going to really have a hard time discriminating if somebody actually can get across under their own power. What they can do, Susie, is, you know, we're going to have 60, 70 safety kayakers out there. They are very welcome, if they're tired, to hold on to the bow of a safety kayak and have a rest. And all those safety kayakers have water, snacks, and most importantly, words of encouragement for swimmers.
So they get trained to also.
Oh, yeah. And many of them have been doing this for 10, 15, 20 years with us.
Very dedicated.
So they're very dedicated. They're very good at it. It's not off-putting for them to have somebody hold on to the bow of their boat. Now, I give people at the safety talk strict instructions. You're not to try to climb into a kayak.
Right. Unless you are finished, your race is finished. And then they would probably get a safety.
Well, they pull you, they tow you out. You know, you hold on to the stern of the boat, then they pull you over, you know, out of the channel path, where you're swimming. Right. Yeah. And then you're getting onto a jet boat. I mean, there's no propellers anywhere near,
right,
you know, the swim. And then you're being brought into to Dog Beach for evaluation. But that happens rarely.
That's the end of your race. But that's okay, too. It's all part of the bigger picture. I just want to remind our listeners, I'm speaking with Jim Zuberbühler. He's the swim director, I'm assuming, of the upcoming August 2nd, that's Saturday, August 2nd, 30th annual Long Bridge Swim. And we're talking about the specifics right now. What is it really like to be in the water during the swim? I was thinking about the person who had not use of their legs, probably a strong upper body because they're always transferring from their chair. But were they able to use any kind of swim device or any modifications?
No.
Okay. So they pulled themselves across the lake with just their arms.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Remarkable.
So it starts at the south end of the Long Bridge.
Yep.
And how do you get 800 people over there all organized and happy and
ready to go? Good question. We meet at the high school. The school district generously offered years ago, because as we grew, we needed a place to be able to have everybody park, meet. And then we have, it'll be 16 or so buses. Cart everybody over to the south end because there's no parking there. So the buses drop everybody off, and then we do about half the swimmers elect to do a water start. They get into the water. The other half elect to walk across the timing mat with their electronic bracelet, their chip bracelet on their ankle, and that starts the race for them, for the people who don't start in the water. So it's very civilized. So you do not have to, you know, you used the word chaos before. I mean, there are no sharp elbows in the Long Bridge swim. It is not like a triathlon where you are worried about getting kicked in the head and so on. We have such a wide area to start that even if you're doing a water start, you're very unlikely to be uncomfortable with that. And if you start on land, it's very gentle getting in, starting. And we're very focused on that, that, you know, if you're a competitive swimmer, then you need to be up in the front row for the water start so that you're not going to run over anybody. Now, if you're a first timer, you're not sure you can even do this, then you need to be, you know, taking your time, going across the mat, getting the water when you get in the water.
It's a swim, really, not a race.
I almost corrected you earlier. Yeah, we call it the Long Bridge Swim. We have people who are competitive, but but they're in some ways really outliers. And people want to do their personal best. But, you know, this is not a triathlon or, you know, an open water competitive swim. I mean, it's not designed to be that.
In my mind, it's if you finish, you're doing great.
That's right.
And really, it's to enjoy the beauty of water and swimming. It's a fun thing to do.
And that's the goal for most people, is to finish. Mm-hmm.
So you're bussing everyone over to the south end of the Long Bridge. That's, and everyone's calm and happy. It's a celebration in a lot of ways. And what, so you have a variety of swimmers, and the competitive swimmers go first, possibly, and or are suggested. What is the age range from youngest to, and what would you say to a young swimmer? You probably should be able to do this in order to do the Long Bridge Swim.
Yeah. So often our young swimmers are on what you might call pre-competitive swim teams. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kids who are swimming a lot. We regularly have, you know, kids. Every year we have 10-year-olds. We often have 8-, 9-year-olds. The youngest swimmer was 6 some years ago. I think you recall a couple years ago, my daughter at 9 was the youngest swimmer that year. And it happened to be the year that we had Chuck Milton swim at age 90. And that was a kind of a fun year because the Bee did an article, you know, from 9 to 90, you know, because you had a 9-year-old and a 90-year-old.
81 years difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Sierra.
Did she finish?
Oh, Sierra. Yeah. It was her first, her first year to do the swim, and she was the youngest, and I swam with her that year. She did it in 1 hour and 16 minutes, and Chuck came in about the same time, and that was so fun. And in the interview, she looks over at Chuck and she says, you're exactly 10 times as old as me. So, you know, they had a great time. And then he came back 2 years later and did it at 92. So he is now our oldest swimmer ever to have done the swim. Neat guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we often have kids, you know, 9, 10 years old, and we now have, we always have somebody in their late 70s and 80s. It's great fun.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, when you're coaching, is there like a coaching site they can go to? Such as when to know when to quit, or when to know you've had enough, when to know to take a break. I mean, or do you feel that people just instinctively know?
I think they know, but as you can tell from the numbers, very few people quit. They push through and exceed their, you know, personal perceived limitations.
So there is it's probably not impossible. Obviously, all the people and most of the people finish it, but it's also, there's an edge of striving, a little bit of difficulty involved. So it's you are pushing a little.
Yeah, you're pushing your boundaries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's part of the fun of it. And that's why, you know, we've talked about the start of the race. Mm-hmm. That's why the finish is so celebratory. I mean, you've got, you know, 700 and something people who have finished. You've got all these race volunteers. You've got spectators. And it's not a very big space, so it's a hubbub. I mean, we've got music playing. Winter Ridge, you know, does all of our food. We consume gallons of Huckleberry ice cream, and there's, you know.
Let's talk about the finish and your sponsors, because this is not a one-person show here. This is a community effort on a big scale.
We've got hundreds of volunteers. I mentioned some of the safety. You know, we've got bridge spotters. We've got the Sheriff's Department, Marine Division. You know, we've got the regular sheriff's department managing traffic. We've just got all sorts of people helping out. You know, Bonner General Health staffs our medical tent. We've got all these people helping with our registration. You know, we got people out there at 5 in the morning getting the porta potties ready and setting up the tent for Winter Ridge. And it's, and we do this every year. I mean, it's a machine. It's really, and our goal is to be a little bit better every year. You know, the people who, you know, you get organized on the south end and you put your stuff in a little bag. Well, that bag magically appears at the finish end when you get out of the water. Somebody has to cart that in a pickup truck over to, you know, the north end of the swim. And so all these things are happening. And, you know, it's very important for us that the, you know, same number of people finish that started, you know. And so it's a big complicated thing logistically, Susie, and we have a great time doing it.
That's really important too. And so you have a team. You have your core team, and then you have your community sponsors. You mentioned Winter Ridge.
Yeah, Winter Ridge has been helping for years. I walked into Greg and Shauna's office in 2010, asked if they would help support the swim lessons program. They were early. Justin Dix, another person who signed up early to help with that. And we've had quite a few other sponsors, you know, Eric Paul, Washington Trust Bank. We've got people who signed up very early to support this and have been sponsors ever since. The railroad has been very supportive since they started doing that work. They've helped us out many, many years as lead sponsors. Robert McFarland and his family are back for a couple of years now as lead sponsors. They've been wonderful. So we've had, you know, many, many sponsors who have helped us year in, year out. All the sponsorship dollars go to support our swim, you know, activities, the water safety and swim lessons. The swim registrations support the event itself. And we have a little left over. So some of that left over also helps with swim lessons. But those are discrete things financially. The sponsorship dollars completely go to supporting swim lessons, water safety, other things related, you know, lifeguard training and so on. So it's really been great. And it's been very easy for me as the fundraiser to ask people to support swimming. Like Fry Creek Veterinary Clinic, you know, they've helped us for years. You know, the Fausts, Sweet Lou's, you know, it's a long list. And you can see that on our website, and you'll see it on a couple thousand t-shirts here in a couple weeks.
So do you get grant money?
No, never have applied for any grants. I've thought about doing that, but we haven't needed them. And so I have restrained myself from doing that because our sponsor dollars and swim registrations, we've had enough to manage. Mm-hmm. So I haven't felt that I would view that as taking money away from where it could be going elsewhere.
And you mentioned the cost of the swim come out of the registration.
Yep.
You mentioned some of the costs, probably those buses from the high school, there's got to be a cost to that unless the school's donating. No,
and insurance.
Insurance.
Everybody gets a bathing cap. And then we have hard costs like porta potties. And, you know, we bought a ramp a couple years ago to make the entry easier and safer, especially safer. So we have, you know, hard costs, you know, baked in there, you know, for the swim. It is still probably the least expensive large open water swim, certainly in the Pacific Northwest. If you register early, it's $25.
Oh, okay.
To participate in this. If you wait till the last minute, it's going to be $75. But even then, that's still cheap for a swim, like an event like this. And again, the cost goes up the longer you wait.
Well, let's talk about registration right now then.
Sure.
Because it's still open today.
Open online, longbridgeswim.org. You can register. And that online registration will be open until July 31st. Yep, Thursday, July 31st, 11:59 p.m. And then the only time to register on site will be Friday, the 1st of August, packet pickup at the high school. From 5 to 7, And then Saturday, August 2nd, we have no same-day registration. We have not done same-day registration for about 10 years now. Cannot show up and register.
Too much going on.
Yeah, exactly. You have to register online by Thursday. You can register in person Friday evening, but you cannot register the day of the swim. Just can't do it.
So online registration is open to July 31st at longbridgeswim.org. And then on August 1st, you can register at the high school from 5 to 7.
Yep.
So that's pretty clear. It's still open and, you know, see if that's something you want to do. It sounds like you have a full slate of 800 swimmers right now.
Yeah, we're closing in. When we had our last planning meeting 2 weeks ago, tomorrow we were at 600 and something. And then I got a note the other day that we were at 711. So we'll most certainly be at 800. And we do that Friday night registration for local swimmers. We always pick up, you know, some local folks on Friday evening.
And you said that people come from all over. What are some of the areas that people may come from that you've noted throughout the years? You said Barcelona, Spain.
Oh yeah, that you know,
vacationing.
Yeah, that family's been great. All of our neighbor states. Okay. The bulk of our swimmers actually come from Coeur d'Alene and Spokane.
Okay.
So more than half the swimmers come from Coeur d'Alene and Spokane. So 400 plus from those two places.
Really? Do you advertise like at
we don't do anything.
Swim clubs or nothing?
Nothing.
People know, and probably a lot of returning.
Oh,
so that means it's really
huge number of returning, and we have been consistently ranked in the top 100 open water swims worldwide for years. This is a sought after bucket list event for people who do these kinds of events.
And we haven't really talked about what something 400 people coming into Sandpoint to swim the Long Bridge swim does for our community.
Well, the Chamber did an analysis a couple of years ago. After Lost in the 50s and the festival at Sandpoint, Long Bridge Swim is the biggest weekend economic driver for Sandpoint, attractant in terms of hotel rooms, meals, people, many, many hundreds of individuals and families build part of their summer vacation around coming to Sandpoint for this event. So they're either here for a few days or a week, and they're staying here, they're eating meals.
It's a really celebratory thing
on all
levels.
So, but think about that. Third largest economic weekend event after Lost in the 50s and the festival. Right. Long Bridge Swim. You know, it's a couple hours. but people, you know, it's a big deal. And that's a lot of people coming to our town.
So, spectators. I'm just thinking all of a sudden, at the end of the swim, you've got this small beach that used to be called Dog Beach, and now it's just something else.
We still call it Dog Beach.
Okay. So all these swimmers are coming in over time. You have a limit of 2.5 hours
for the swim itself.
Yeah, for the swim itself. So over a period of time, swimmers are coming in. Family probably wants to be there when their swimmer shows up. So
we cram them in.
And
you bring up, you know, spectators. This is an incredibly unusual opportunity to watch your swimmer. But the vast majority of open water swims, they take off from a beach somewhere and they go out and they do a triangular course or they swim parallel to the shore, but you can't see them. But here you get to walk along that pedestrian bridge and watch your spouse, child, parent, Uncle Bob, whoever it is that you're there to watch. And you can watch them the entire time. You can watch them at the start. And you know, if you know what color their cap is, what their swimmer number is on their cap, you can watch them the entire event. And that is, I don't know of another event like this where you can do that. So that's really unusual. It is unique about our event. And a lot of people really enjoy that. And when you're swimming, it's really fun. You're looking up at that bridge. And we actually should try to figure out how many people are up there. We could probably do that. We could probably get somebody to just, you know, bike along and with a clicker and figure it out. But It's got to be a couple thousand people.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Susie. Oh, it's a...
You could carry flags and wave things.
Oh, and they're on bikes and scooters and, you know, just walking and, you know, grandma's in a wheelchair. I mean, it's really something. It is a sight. And then they get down to Dog Beach and you'd think that 700 and something swimmers and all the volunteers would be enough. And then we have all these, you know, spectators who want to be there, you know, when... You know, whoever it is they're watching wants to finish. I mean, it's shoulder to shoulder, but that's part of the fun of it.
It's a celebration.
Yeah,
truly.
Yeah. So it's really neat. I mean, Carolyn Lobsinger comes every year from the Bee to do an article and take pictures. It's I don't know how she's able to take pictures. I mean, it's so crammed.
So crowded.
But it's really fun.
Okay, good to know. And you mentioned swimmers with their caps. Does every swimmer wear a cap?
Absolutely.
They have to.
They have to. And okay. They're marked, they're body marked on both hands, and then their cap is marked.
I noticed on your very good website at longbridgeswim.org that you had a thing at the bottom of heavy, strong, because you're learning things every year. Even though this is your 30th year, you learned something new last year, that safety is the primary direction.
Yeah.
That you take. So is there anything more about that to say?
Oh, gosh, it is the most important thing. I mean, we can't have fun if we're not safe out there. So
making sure every swimmer comes in safely.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, something I've tried to mention during these talks every year is, you know, we have the sheriff's, you know, dive unit is out there all suited up on one of the sheriff's Marine Division boats. We've never had to deploy them, but if, for instance, one of the spotters on the, we have 10 spotters on the Longbridge with flags, if they see a swim cap go under and they can't, you know, they're not sure that it's come back up, they're going to raise their flag, you know, point.
Alert.
Now, alert. You know, we have safety kayakers out on the outside. We have safety kayakers under the bridge. And then if they can't determine immediately that that situation is okay, they're going to call the sheriff's boat in, and then divers are going to be in the water.
Immediately.
Within a minute.
Right.
I mean, so we've never had to do that, but we've had that in place for when Kerry Kelly was running the Marine Division, you know, 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, we designed that into, so this is... Again, we try to get better every year, but we've got all these structures in place that the average swimmer has no idea that they're being watched from the bridge, watched from kayaks, that there's jet boats on the outside watching, that we've got people on radios. I mean, it's as tight a container as we know how to build.
And that's the beauty of a 30-year-long process of learning, that in the beginning, Eric and his 68 friends probably learned a lot that first year, and now,
oh, yeah.
So hallelujah to 30 years. Congratulations again on that. Anything else you'd like to say, mention, or bring forward information-wise?
Oh, gosh. We really appreciate the broad community support. We always have room for more sponsors. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate all of our teacher advocates who have supported, particularly those third-grade teachers, seventh grade teachers who have gone to the trouble to bring their kids over for these water safety classes. That's been just wonderful. And swimming is a really important thing. And we, again, really think that no child should get past third grade without learning how to swim. So I'll leave you with that.
That sounds like a perfect way to end. KRFY would also like to thank the Longbridge Swim as one of our valued and greatly appreciated underwriters here at this nonprofit community commercial-free radio station.
Didn't we figure out we think we're one of the first, Susie?
I think you could be, yeah. And very consistently with us through our 14 years in existence. So Jim Zuberbühler, race director? Swim director, not race.
That's
swim
right.
Director. You've got a lot coming up on your plate in the next bit of time. So thanks for stopping in today and sharing a bit of information with our listeners about the upcoming Long Bridge Swim.
Thanks, Susie.
Thank you, Jim.